Hello, this is Angel Hawk from Harvest Moon.
Hello, this is Steve, Winterhawk 99.
And you're listening to the only Never Winter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting. Wow, where to begin?
It's the Never Winter Nights podcast.
The Never Winter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Asher Khan.
And I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
Hi, I'm Maddie Ann.
And this is episode 87 of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games.
Later in the show, we have an excellent interview with Winterhawk and Angel Hawk from the Harvest Moon Guild. You won't want to miss it.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Hey, this week we have setting in with us as one of our backup hosts, Maddie Ann. Welcome, Maddie Ann.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
One of the new things that we're doing for the new year is we've asked three or four people to be backup hosts. And what we're going to try to start doing here over the next few episodes is have each one of them set in with a couple of the main hosts and kind of learn the ropes and figure out how the podcast works. How's that sound?
Suckers.
Yeah.
So what's everybody been up to?
Oh, recovering from being off and having to go back to work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just finished the Twilight series of books, all four of them.
Oh, cool. I read the first three. I haven't read the fourth one yet.
The fourth one is the best one.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
It's unparalleled to the other three, in my opinion. But, yeah, I really, really enjoyed the fourth one.
Because I liked the first one, and I disliked the second and third one, so...
Yeah, I found the second one to kind of drone on a bit.
Oh, yes. Nothing ever happens.
I really think two and three are a build-up for four.
They're very long build-ups.
Hey, over the holidays, I made it a little bit more through The Mask of the Betrayer.
You did? Really? Where are you now?
I'm just about to go into the big castle or whatever in at Thay. Shaper's
okay.
Academy, I think is
okay.
What it's called.
That one's a little tedious.
It is.
Take your time and really pay attention and have a scrap piece of paper and a pencil.
Have you ever known me to pay attention?
Well, I'll give you a quarter and you can pay attention. But no, seriously, have a little scrap piece of paper and a pencil next to you. You'll know why. When you go in there, yeah.
Puzzles?
Well, yes, it is a puzzle, but I learned that it's best to have something to write down with so that you don't forget all with all you're running around.
Okay. Why, in the last episode, 86, we had an interview with Atari, as everyone hopefully heard, and that's gotten lots of attention, which is great. Basically, it spread like wildfire after we released the episode. I was pleasantly surprised. I even went over to Game Banshee to submit some news, and bam, there we were on the front page.
Wow!
Without even having to tell them, it was kind of cool.
So. I hate to admit this, I haven't heard the episode yet, but I just kind of found my way back to my computer just recently, so I will listen to it this week.
Yeah, you need to. They talk about Mysteries of Westgate.
Yeah.
just briefly. Okay, to start off the news this week, we got some news from Barry1066 over at CEP, the Community Expansion Pack. He let me know that they're releasing 2.2C this week, and then it's not just a small tweak, but a major step forward. There's going to be included in this update 357 new doors by Athena Meter and Barry1066 with other doors in the CEP door hack, bringing the CEP door total to nearly 600. So they don't have the exact count yet, but that's light years beyond any other door hack offering or addition of multiple door hack offerings. They've also added some new placeables like tile set lights and have compiled all models. This greatly reduces lag and makes hacks smaller, and the infecting game is very noticeable. Quicker, smoother, and far, far less lag. They're also introducing their own auto-updater, very similar to the NWN2 auto-updater that's being released here shortly by Obsidian. They've also created their own. It's a small program that you can download, and then it gets the new parts and builds and updates the previous versions into the latest, placing them everywhere it belongs automatically. So if there's a small change in a hack, you get the small change injected and you don't have to download the full hack. However, though, when you use the auto-updater for the very first time, it might take a little bit longer since every model in the CEP has been cleaned and compiled, but it will be faster once you've done the first initial. This auto-updater was custom written by one of the team members, Akros. He's one of the high ground builders. So y'all be sure to check that link out in the show notes and go get the latest CEP 2.2 release.
I do have some outside news if I could add.
Sure.
I got an email this evening, actually, from Matthew Rory of Obsidian. Said, while we haven't sent out an official press release regarding this yet, you may find this to be of interest to your site. It seems Mr. Zietz was, of course, the creative lead of the highly regarded Mask the Betrayer expansion to Neverwinter Nights 2. We're happy to have him back. So apparently whoever was the creative lead for Mask the Betrayer left Obsidian and is now back.
Oh.
I'll put the link in the show notes, Trey. Okay. There is a link of forum discussion about it.
And in some other news, we also got some news from Rob McGinnis over at Obsidian as well. I was in the IRC chats this past weekend, and he goes, "Hey, I got something for you." And so we went off in a private chat, and he gave us some updates on some patches that he said we could release exclusively.
Cool.
So the news is that they should be finishing up the 1.22 patch and releasing it around the 22nd of January.
Ah, right around the corner. For patch 1.23, they are hoping to release the beta for the 1.23 patch around the 26th of January. Oh, so right after the other one.
Yeah, he wanted you to say 1.23 twice there.
Oh. And I reiterate, patch 1.23. Their plan is to run the beta for 2 months with a few updates during the beta. They are hoping to run the beta for English, French, Italian, German, and Spanish.
The 1.23 patch will contain the content auto-downloader, among other things. As soon as we get a draft of the patch notes, we will post them.
I'm sorry, Maddie, what was the number on that patch again?
I think it was 1.23.
Awesome.
Okay. Nice. Well, that's awesome. Some good things coming for Neverwinter Nights 2.
Over at the Academy of Modding Excellence, they are starting their new award cycle. Yay!
Every year, they take a look at the awards that they are giving out to make sure they are up to date and relevant to players and builders to help them find the very best. This year is no exception, and the AME already have some changes for this year's cycle and some more to come.
So you're in that, aren't you, Maddie, in the AME?
Actually, no, I'm not.
You dropped out this year?
They asked, and I'm having an artistic crisis, and I would like not be paying attention to that because I would have a great excuse. So I said no.
Okay.
Though it was very sweet of them to ask.
In some more news at the AME, the Best Adventure Module has been renamed to Best Dramatic Module. It's basically the same award, but the name better captures the intent of the award.
Also, there will be no Best PNP Conversion Award this year.
As with last year, Best Sound Music will be judged across both Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 together.
Tabe over at the AME also reports that they have decided that what they're going to do with the Custom Content Awards for NWN2. They will be having a Best 3D Custom Content Award, which will cover tile sets, placeables, and creatures. Anything other than that will be considered in the regular custom content category, such as prefabs.
Also for Neverwinter Night 1, the awards will stay per previous years, namely a Best Tile Set Award and Best Custom Content Award.
For both the Multiplayer Award and the International Module Awards, it is a question of staffing. So if you're interested in making sure that there is a Best Multiplayer Award or a Best French or Spanish Module Award, for example, please, please, please step forward to help out.
Also in some other news, the Uncharted Midlands Last Gate Persistent World has been announced. This is a new Persistent World that is just getting started up. It's a heavy roleplay permadeath persistent world. It opens its gates this Monday, January 12th.
This is Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2?
I believe it's Neverwinter Nights 1.
Okay.
So those who are all looking for further roleplay in realism and intensity, check it out. And we'll put the link to that in the show notes. And now sit back and listen to Winterhawk and Angelhawk as we interview them about the Harvest Moon. Today, we have with us from the Neverwinter Nights Persistent World Harvest Moon Guild, the Chief Bottle Washer, Steve, a.k.a. Winterhawk, and his Supreme Commander, wife, Angel, a.k.a. Angelhawk. And together with an elite group, they are building the Harvest Moon Persistent World for Neverwinter Nights set in a place called Sierra Na. So welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thank you.
And also we have with us Skunk. From this world of skunk, world of skunkines.
It's good to have you here with us, Angel and Winterhawk.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, it's really nice to meet you. Although I met Trey on the world.
Yes. Yes, you did. So why don't y'all start out and introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about how you came to the Neverwinter Nights community. I guess ladies first.
Well, I'm Angel Hawk, or just Angel, and he brought me in kicking and screaming. That's how I got there. I'd never played before.
Cool.
I played the original game, but, you know, I'd never played, like, pen and paper or anything. And he brought me in, terrified.
Yes.
Now he won't let me leave. Actually, my legs chained. No, I'm just kidding.
She loves it. Let me think about this. Well, I started gaming D&D in the early 80s. And
wow.
Through the 90s, and I made a couple of persistent worlds for PnP. Uh-huh. And then I kind of didn't do anything for a while after I got my new job. Baldur's Gate came up, and I got the game, and I loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. And I saw an advertisement for NWM, and I went, wow, this is it. This is the new thing. So I got it right in the box, and for 3 years I played all the mod vaults, the vault mods and stuff like that. And about 2003, 2004, yeah, I found a little persistent world called Anachrome. And I got in good with them and played, and then I started Harvest Moon with Angel and a guy named Child of Stark, and we went from there.
Cool. Excellent.
Hey, could you tell us about Harvest Moon and its backstory of the game world, please?
Oh, the game world is very unique. The backstory is when the Prime was created, the first planet was Sierra Na. And all the gods were kind of focused, all the older gods were focused on Sierra Na, and they started making other worlds. Well, what they didn't realize when they started making other worlds like Greyhawk and Kryn and other worlds like even Ravenloft, the Plane of Dread, was it all sort of got attached to Sierra Ma. So all the other worlds are like mirrors to the original world. So whatever happens in Sierra Ma happens in other worlds, like the Elf Wars and Loth and that whole scenario. And everything that happens on Sierra Ma slowly affects and ripples through all the other worlds. And what happened was a great cataclysm hit Sierra Ma, wiping out most of the population. And now it's starting to affect other worlds, and gods are pulling people out of Kryn and Greyhawk and Faerun and seeding this world so that the Prime doesn't collapse on itself.
It's the reason it's called Harvest Moon.
Ah, wicked. Do you share the same deities as the other settings like Greyhawk and Faerun and Ravenloft?
We have a mix of deities. We've pulled some deities from Kryn, like Solinari, and some deities from Faerun, like Sun, and Pelor of Greyhawk, which in our world is Pelora, the female aspect of Pelor. And Ao, the overlord, is like Martek, who created these shimmers so that people could go from Sierra Ma to other worlds.
Yeah. And people that come into the world, well, actually they're pulled into the world. The PCs bring their own gods that have not been recognized on Sierra Ma for a very long time. Hmm. And they're building temples and things like that.
So how long has the persistent world been opened? And if one wants to join in the fun, how do they do that?
Well, this is our second year. We just finished year two. We're heading into year three. Okay. And they just have to ask. Hey, you know, everybody has to be, we don't like a lot of conflict. So they all have to know how to play nice.
Right.
So, you know, we're pretty picky about who we pick. We pick and choose people, and we allow people that get along really well.
Yeah, you can ask over on Guilds and Registries at BioWare, and if people know you and
basically, if you don't do flaming and all that craziness, and
yeah, if you have a reputation, it's not likely that we'll accept you. But if we don't know you, that's actually good because we'll accept you and see how you do.
Cool.
Is the server only up on weekends? And
yes.
Oh, okay. Why did you decide to have it only available on weekends?
It actually started out as it was going to be a small, persistent place for people that were on Anachrome to, when they needed to take Anachrome down for, like, maintenance, or if there was electrical problem, you know, like a storm, that kind of thing, then we would throw our world up so that our friends and everybody could come there and play. And Anachrome kind of died off, and we kept it. We just started putting it up from Thursday night till Sunday midnight.
A few other reasons why we kept it that way, and that is, one is the downtime really helps the builders to build in between server resets. You know, we have time to build and create new ideas, and just before we put it up again, there's always new stuff on it.
Well, that makes it interesting.
Yeah. And you can change the world. Like, somebody can start building a house, and once they get the house built the next week, it's in there. You know, we have people with PCs with houses and persistent chests, and we make them week to week.
So if I was a player on there and I wanted to build my own house, I could?
Yes, you could.
But you have to role-play.
Yes. We have a difference between role-play and hack and slash. You have to have certain basic things done for role-playing. And then you can own property and change the world. And
so I have to get to a certain level of role-play before I could ask to build a house?
Correct.
Okay, that makes
basically,
sense.
Basically, we have to know that you're going to hang around.
Understood.
And not just be, like, there for a week.
Okay.
One of the things that, well, first off, thank you for accepting me into your guild to check things out.
Well, yeah, same here. Yes, thank you.
I'm impressed that, you know, for being a weekend-only guild, the activity in your forum is really flourishing. And you guys are listed as one of the top most active BioWare forum guilds. And looking into your forums, your community there, everybody looks real creative and on their characters and such. And Devotion, where, you know, a lot of other guilds on the BioWare forum I've seen are just, you know, kind of senseless spam, just trying to keep themselves in the spotlight.
So what do y'all attribute that to?
I attribute it to a man that I really appreciate, the owner of Anachrome that has since moved on from NWN. His name's Flying Aquarium, and he taught me a lot about getting people together and sort of sparking their creativeness.
Plus, everybody there has their own little creative spark. We have quite the crew of people that are phenomenal. Grey World he's a wonderful storyteller, and so is Lils. And those guys just know, I don't know, they should be writing novels, I think.
Well, that's interesting. That leads us into the next question. Who are all the people on the team currently?
We made a list.
Yeah, there's so many that we had to make a list. We have basically four main scripters. All of them got some pretty good credentials. Mermit is our lead scripter. She came with us early, and she's wonderful. She keeps things up and going. Hi, Mermit. And there's Borden High Elven, a member of the Builders Project, who made us a wonderful flooding room trap. RDJ Paradis, Canadian, that he took Jasper's and he modified it just for us.
Yeah, we have our own AI.
And a new rising star is Nuring. He's doing a lot of fixes right now, and he's got some great ideas for scripting and stuff. So that's basically our scripting team. Custom content team. We've got the George making placeables for us, and he made us a beating heart in a jar for a quest. It's really neat, and it actually beats in game. It made me fall off my chair the first time I saw it, because I saw, oh yeah, there's a heart and there's a jar, and it thumps and flipped me back in my chair.
It was exciting. It made me gag.
I do most of the tile sets. In fact, my tile set work has recently got me involved with the CTP the last few weeks. And Anuis, who is the leader of the Character Builders Guild on the MWN forums, mm-hmm. Epic Character Building Guild. And he knows characters and feats and skills inside and out.
It is this wonderful beehive. It really looks like a beehive.
Yeah, I've seen the beehive. That was one of the places that Winterhawk took me that night that I got to visit around.
Neat looking.
Yeah, he spawned a couple of the guard bees and huge big old bee. It was scary.
We also have a bunch of builders. Chata Stark, who's been with us since the beginning, and Basculus Kron, who has left us for college endeavors, Mattiana and Lils, Greywald, and we have a couple of great DMs in Michu and McDagger, and Angel Hawk builds.
Slowly. We have a bunch of really great talent, and they're such nice people.
Sounds like it. And so, are you looking for new team members, or how do you evolve team members?
We're always looking for new people. You know, when people want to come in and they're creative and they want to, you know, stretch their wings, so to speak, this is a great place to do it, because this is like an empty canvas.
Not only an empty canvas, but we've got a lot of people that know what they're doing, and we're here to help anybody who wants to build or do custom content or, you know, anything, you know, even script.
Excellent. But when you're starting off with a world that encapsulates all those other worlds, it's so much easier to, you know, take a little bit of oh, this guy's used to building in, you know, Corinne style, and this one wants Faerun stuff. And I mean, here you can have everything. See?
Yeah, you got a very impressive list of staff. Quite a bit of those names I recognize very well. Especially Mermut. Long ago, like in the early years of Neverwinter Nights, I ended up asking for random help from the community somewhere, and I bet she don't even remember me at all, but she helped me quite extensively with some scripting problems I was having, and thanks to that knowledge, I was able to accomplish a lot more based on her help. So, Mermut, thank you very much.
She's wonderful.
Yes.
And quite funny, actually.
The server is roleplay and hack and slash. Which one is played more?
They're pretty much even, I think, because we do weird things. We roleplay and hack and slash at the same time. Basically, I had a halfling one time that got a cold on its way up there to go hack and slash. And we were all bent to go kill these, you know, whoever they were at that time, bugbears, I think. And we were all on our way up there to do it, and she came down with this terrible cold, so everybody had to keep helping her along as we went. So, you know, you've got one that's sneezing uncontrollably, coughing, falling into a fever, that kind of a thing, and that's what we do. So it's all, it's pretty much even. There's times when we just sit around a campfire and chat, and there's other times when we're off doing things like that.
Are there areas that a person by themselves can explore without dying, or do you really need to be with others when you explore?
We do it. We make it so that if you're a single character and you're just exploring, it's going to be really tough, but you can do it. And we give you the equipment to be able to do that and still make it a challenge. It's best to go around with a group of two, three, or even four. All the areas require different talents, and we try to make it tough.
I play alone all the time, so you can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it, trust me.
So tell us about one of your favorite role-play events or sessions that you can remember.
One of my favorites was I was running a campaign, the summer campaign, and it was a genie that was being held at a zoo. And the people were going to basically free everybody that was at the zoo. And it was a bad dragonkin holding people, animals and people. So just seeing how the different people, the different PCs, you know, dealt with all that was just too much fun. And the questions and the wishes and stuff that they asked at the end was surprising. You know, the genie granted them each a wish, and some of them turned them down. And one of the wishes was to set the genie free, which was really a cute one. And some of them asked for wings and things like that. It was just amazing. I figured everybody would want uber weapons or something, but nobody actually did. It was just fun.
Cool. Did you have one, Steve?
Well, there's been so many that it's hard to tell. I mean, I do a lot of the epic quests, and Mermit and Baskel Skrom's epic quest was great. They had to save the city of Morzelmore, who's very xenophobic.
It's ran by
Dragonkin. Yeah, the main city's run by Dragonkin. They don't like outsiders, you know, they're very xenophobic. And so these two PCs, they saved them from an army of orcs, which had just gotten into the mod. And they came back, and the Dragonkin were, like, thankful, and at the same time, they were like, okay, get out of our town now. And it was a lot of fun, because they made a lot of fun out of it, you know, the whole thing.
On any given weekend, how many players do you presume to have online?
Oh, geez. It can be one. There's never, like, more than probably 12 on at a time. But it starts as soon as at midnight comes around on Thursday. It doesn't stop, usually. I mean, it's never really empty for more than maybe half an hour at a time.
Wow.
So it can be one person or it could be 12 people. But it's never empty. Not usually.
Yeah, I think when Steve was showing me around, there was maybe one or two people, others on there.
Well, we have everybody, people from all
over. It was kind of late, though.
We have some of the people that are, you know, in England, and they come in during the day, and or over in Norway. Hi, Mick. we have a whole bunch of people that are, you know, all over the different places. So
that's cool.
They come in at different times, and you never really know when or how many you're going to have at once. Now, if we have an event going, there's usually six or seven. If there's a DM event, if they're aware that it's going to happen. Now, there's DM events happen a lot.
So tell us something about your world that makes it unique to any other world that's out there.
Oh, man, there's so much unique stuff on the world. I couldn't.
to me, it's unique because it changes weekly. I mean, there's not a lot of worlds that would do that. You know, it grows every week.
Right.
It gets bigger.
How many areas are you up to?
330. Did you hear him?
330?
Yeah, 330.
Okay.
We have 330. All the areas are built off of map and are geographically linked together. So if you go from one area to another, you can see the hills continuing on and the mountains continuing on from coast to the back of the mountains, from the desert all the way up to the Arctic Circle. And every tile is placed on a topographical map so that it's consistent from end to end.
Wow.
He literally builds on a grid.
Uh-huh.
So it's like having a graph paper sitting in front of you, and he builds that way. So however many tiles it takes is however many grids it takes up. So it's all geographically correct.
So I'm kind of adding a question here, just forewarning, because of I remember this from when Winterhawk was showing me around. So say the weekend session begins and you've added three new areas. If I get on, how do I know that there's three new areas, and how do I get to them? Isn't there a special menu that I can use to take me there?
No, we don't have porting, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, okay.
No, but what he does usually is he announces it on the forums that there have been new areas added and tells you what they're called. So if, you know, usually it's stuff like the Northern so-and-so or the Hadara Mountain so-and-so. So you know you go north.
Okay. And so then you have to travel to the new area.
Right.
Okay.
Unless there's a DM on. And usually what ends up happening is a DM will take you to the new areas just to show people the new areas if they're their level.
If they have the correct level. Okay.
We are working on a porting system. Maddie Ann is very excited about it, and so is Angel Hawk. We're working on it, and what we want to do is we want to give you an item, and you've got to complete a quest, because the world's built in sort of like level rings. The first level ring is 1 through 5, the next level ring 6 through 10, and on.
Uh-huh. Think of it like a bullseye.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
The middle part is 1 through 5, and then it goes out from there.
So we're going to build Quest with a teleport system, and then your item will be upgraded so you can go to various ports.
Oh, cool.
Oh, with all the Proud team, a lot of the members from your team are quite recognizable throughout the community. And having your server online for 2 years and having such a wonderful community that I've seen in your forums, what do you think would be probably your most proudest moment for the server or in your guild?
Wow. Celebrating our second anniversary. I think that's the proudest moment for us. Simply because pretty much everybody that joins stays. And the ones that don't, then we weren't their cup of tea to begin with. But I would say that's probably the proudest moment. I mean, they're all such great people. They're so much fun and such sweet people. And they've done, I mean, it's not just like a game. We're family, pretty much. I mean, if somebody's having a bad day, everybody rally around you and help you out. My mother got sick, and Mermit sent me flowers.
Wow.
And we've never met in person. Maddie Ann, that lovely lady, sent me virtual flowers and a note every day. And not to mention other people that, you know, my other friends in the game that have just talked to me about her every day. So, for me, it's just knowing that they're there. And such good people, you know.
Yeah, proudest moments, it's when the game kind of transcends into real life and everybody helps everybody else out in their own way. It might be a word or flowers like Angel, but it shows that a group of players, especially gamers, can work together on a server, but be friends too. And you know, we're a great big family, and we welcome, you know, all the good people from NWN to join our family.
Cool. So Skunky didn't want to ask him their most embarrassing moment.
No.
I can tell you that one.
Okay.
My most embarrassing moment was I was working with the AI once, and somehow I had put the on-spawn script into the heartbeat script. So I put the server up, and the creatures were acting a little funny, and I kind of thought, okay, this is good. But then the whole server went down about a half an hour later. I'm going, what? And there are people on it. And I'm like, MSMing everybody and putting it on the guild and doing all this stuff, trying to figure it out. And I put it up again, and a half an hour later, it comes down. Our treasure system works off the spawn system. And what happened was every 6 seconds, a new item would go on all the creatures that spawned. And it loaded up the server and it would crash, you know. And it took me like 4 or 5 hours to figure out what was wrong, you know, and all the time yelling at me.
Every shopkeeper had stuff that they were dropping all over the floors. Players were like knee-deep in treasure.
That's funny.
Everybody could have been rich beyond their wildest imagination. But I couldn't even get to the darn... I kept getting killed. I couldn't even cheat well.
I was trying to get to
some of the loot, but no, I was getting murdered by all those monsters that were all over the place. And of course, they were dropping stuff like 3 gold pieces. You know, I couldn't get up there where all the shields and everything were dropping. No.
Okay, so do you guys have any upcoming releases or big events planned that you want to let everybody know about?
Oh, I have one. This is a spoiler. So everybody that's in my group who don't want to know, don't listen.
They're going to listen.
I know. But, you know, you got to give them a break here. Okay, turn your volumes down now. Okay, there's right now there is a sleeping baby fire elemental in the camp. And they know it. They've met them. And that's the beginning of a campaign. So there's going to be another campaign. I usually run one. My campaigns run about 4 months or around that.
Yeah.
And I just finished my summer campaign. So this will be the new campaign coming up.
Oh,
and
cool.
It'll be the beginnings of the Baby Fire Elemental campaign.
And so if you want to plan that campaign, make sure you're on at Thursday sharp and play all the way through the weekend? Or...
No, I usually announce it. It's usually on a Friday. I only do it once a weekend, so it'll be a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday in the afternoon, because that's when everybody can come usually.
Okay.
And there's always a method to my madness. So it starts out slow. On Anachrome, I haunted people with ghosts for about 6 months before my campaign actually started.
Yeah.
So this one, they've already met the baby, and it's going to go from there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So now tell everybody to turn their volume back up.
Yeah.
Let me think. I have a druid quest coming up, finishing of a small campaign. Mm-hmm. And there's an evil campaign that I'm doing. We're sort of waiting for Hugie to come back for that. So, Hugie, come back to the server. We're waiting for you to finish the evil campaign. Hugie's one of our writers.
Mm-hmm.
I have a campaign waiting in the winds involving the swamp. We haven't quite finished the swamp yet, but we have it involves a black dragon that has been harassing characters for 2 years. And lots of events coming down. Mick Dagger starting to sort of get his bearings on DMing. He's a wonderful DM. I saw him DMing today. And Maddie's DMing a little bit more in Grey World.
Cool. Mick Dagger, huh?
Mick, yeah.
Does he give out cheeseburgers?
I don't know, but he's going to love that.
He's going to kill you.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
He has played the scariest character I have ever met, ever. His character is the only one I've ever had nightmares about.
You haven't played with Skunk then.
Oh, no.
Evil Skunk.
We greatly want to thank you both for coming onto the show, Steve and Angel, Winterhawk. Is there any last parting words of wisdom that you could share with us in the community, please?
I have just these. We are a home for mooks. If you are a mook, you know who you are. And to all my mooks that are out there listening now, I am not the Queen Mook, I'm just Angel Hawk, and we love you.
Well, wisdom, that's Angel's territory. Just play hard and come to Harvest Moon. We'll make a home for you.
All right, cool.
He said, y'all come on down.
Okay, well, we appreciate you guys coming and being on the show with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, folks, for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And we're back, yep.
That was a great interview.
Yes, it was.
It really was.
One of the things that I noticed, and you can hear it in their passion, is that these persistent worlds that have been around for a long time, it seems like the players and the owners become family. I think that's kind of cool. And so if you're looking for a home in the Neverwinter Nights community, find a persistent world and plug into it.
Guess it depends on the mortgage rates.
So Maddie, have you ever played any persistent worlds?
I play in Harvest Moon, actually.
Well, that's true.
Yes. And,
often, or are you there?
I play there pretty often. I play there. I play on Ranger, SG, and Archer's world that's in development right now, the Exilic Chronicles, and on City of Melnibone, mostly.
I didn't ask you, Michelle, because I know you don't play Persistent Worlds.
No, I don't.
Well, I never played pen and paper, so it's sort of my pen and paper experience.
I haven't had pen and paper experience either. I really am into the single-player games, and I think after the fact that I played MMOs for an unsurmountable amount of years, I just really enjoy the whole peace and quiet of a single-player game that I can pause and walk away from.
I like that, too. I'm definitely doing more interested in both, so it's not an exclusive interest at all whatsoever.
I'm trying to think. I played something recently, and I can't remember what it was. It's before the holidays, though, so I might have already mentioned it. Oh, it was Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed I was playing before the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like it?
Yes. It has, it's a very much an adventure game. There is, I mean, there's a lot of role play in it, but the story is very subjective to the player. And as far as animation goes and fluid movement and all of that stuff, battle scenes, the climbing on the buildings, the jumping into haystacks and all that stuff, it is absolutely amazing.
Wow.
I was pretty blown away.
So did you assassinate anybody?
Lots of people. It was quite nice. I got out of the game and I thought, wow, I could be happy with everyone now.
Don't forget that we have a Cafe Press store. Click the shirts link on the right side of the website and get yourself something to remember us by.
Yes. So until next time,
get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2008.
Show notes. Martian sands are rubies. The Martian skies are velvet. When I think of velvet, I think of you. I love to think of you. I love to think of you. When I think of rubies, I think of you too. I think of the red sands in the hot Martian sunset.
Over the Academy for a modding edit.
Only fancy. Only fancy.